Diabetes can lead to many medical issues, so managing your blood sugar level is vital. Here to discuss one issue that may at first go unnoticed is Dr. Michael Cusick, an ophthalmologist and retina specialist at UVA Health. This podcast is brought to you by the UVA Health System. I'm Aileen Ellis. Dr. Cusick, thanks so much for joining me today.
All right, it's great to be here.
So let's start with how diabetes can damage the eye.
Sure. Yeah, that's a very good question. So diabetes in general is a condition where people have high levels of sugar, which travels through their bloodstream. And over time, those higher levels of sugars can slowly cause inflammation on the inside linings of the smaller blood vessels in the body. And this is happening all throughout the body. But in the eye, we can actually visualize this. So as these smaller capillaries become inflamed, they can become leaky. And in the eyeball, we can actually see little areas of bleeding and swelling in the small capillaries in the retina. So that's how, in general, diabetes can start to affect the body and, in specific, the eye.
And what symptoms does the patient experience that shows perhaps that there's a problem?
So that's the challenging part. In the very early stages, patients may complain of nothing. In fact, their vision is totally normal. But as the disease does continue and as the swelling can increase in the eye, patients can start to see blurry images in different areas of their vision. They can see new floaters. And at the worst stage, you can lose all of your vision.
And I understand also that you might even have poor color vision.
That's true. There's a number of symptoms you can have which are not totally specific to diabetes, but any condition that affects the retina or the center part of the retina, which is called the macula, you can start to have changes in the color vision.
So what major eye issues can occur in a problem like this?
As we mentioned, there's a number of symptoms which can happen, but with diabetes in particular, when there's bleeding or swelling which occurs in the eye, the vision does tend to be affected and go down. And the most worrisome side effect of diabetes in the eye is the bleeding, which can occur into the central vitreous or gel of the eye. When that happens, patients can lose vision quite quickly, and that can sometimes require surgery.
So, for example, one of the different issues you can have is diabetes retinopathy. What is that?
Right. So diabetes can affect multiple parts of the eye. One of the most common areas of the eye which is affected is the retina. And just to sort of take a step back, the eye is structured like a camera. And so the front part of the eye is the cornea. And the cornea and the lens of the eye, their main role is to focus light. Now, diabetic retinopathy is a condition that affects the back part of the eye. So the retina would be like the film of a camera, which is in the back part of the eye where the light is being focused. So retinopathy is what my specialty is. So I'm a retina specialist. And so when the retina becomes affected by diabetes, that's where we start to see those areas of bleeding and swelling.
And also you could have something like, for example, glaucoma or cataracts?
Yes. So diabetes does increase the risk of other eye conditions such as cataracts and glaucoma. So those are other conditions which we would look for on a diabetic eye exam. But in fact, in really any eye exam, we're looking for all these things.
So let's go on to screening then, because when a person becomes a diabetic, should they be screened for these eye issues immediately? How often should they be screened? What should happen?
Great. Yeah. So that's probably one of the most interesting parts here. So screening obviously is one of the most important pieces of this condition altogether, because without screening, we would be really missing people until they're later in the stages and having symptoms. So screening is recommended slightly differently for patients who have type 1 or type 2 diabetes. For patients who have type 1, and that's a condition which usually begins earlier in life and requires insulin usually right away, those patients we recommend screening start somewhere between 3 and 5 years following the diagnosis of the type 1 diabetes. For patients who have type 2 diabetes, which occurs later in life and usually doesn't require insulin right away, those patients, we recommend having a screening performed immediately at the time of their diagnosis, because about 30% of patients will have some sign of retinopathy at the time of their diagnosis. So that's the slight difference between type 1s and type 2s. For patients who have diabetes and they're pregnant, we also recommend an eye exam prior to conception and then during their first trimester. Patients who are pregnant who have diabetes have an increased risk of worsening retinopathy during their pregnancy, so we do recommend more screening during that pregnancy period.
So I think what you're telling me, too, is that someone who's diagnosed as a pre-diabetic and the doctor warns them, you know, you better watch out for your blood sugar level, particularly, obviously, type 2 diabetes, that their eyes could be being damaged right as that's happening, even before they're actually diagnosed with diabetes.
That's a very good point. So we know that about 30 million Americans are currently living with a known diagnosis of diabetes. What we also know is there are about 80 million people who have pre-diabetes, and you're exactly correct. The eye conditions develop over time, and even if you're having pre-diabetes, you're still at risk for showing some of these early signs of diabetic eye disease. One of the interesting and fascinating components of screening now that we're getting better at is that screening traditionally has been performed in the office of an eye doctor. And when I say that, I'm saying that either an optometrist or an ophthalmologist would do the screening in the office. Now we're moving towards remote screenings. So screenings can now be performed with remote photography of the retina, where we would be taking an image of the back of the eye with a camera in a different setting. So this may be occurring now in the primary care office, and those images then are transferred to a eye provider who can look at these images remotely and begin to perform the screening without that patient actually physically visiting the eye doctor.
So let's talk about what happens once you start on this path and their problems begin to occur. And I'm assuming perhaps the easiest ones to take care of are cataracts, but of the main different problems you can have, what happens and how can they be medically corrected?
So diabetes, as we mentioned, can lead towards different anatomical changes of the eye and different complications. Cataracts would be one of them. So cataracts generally are an age-related process of the eye, but diabetes can accelerate that. So yes, cataracts, when they become visually significant, are treated surgically. So cataracts would be surgically removed, and then an implant lens would be put in. In terms of the other major complication of diabetes in the eye, which is the diabetic retinopathy, when the diabetes reaches certain stages in the back of the eye with the retina, where we see swelling in the central part of the retina, or we see significant bleeding or the growth of new blood vessels in the back of the eye, the treatment really consists of treating the diabetic retinopathy. And we have really three major ways of treating that. So the first way, which is always the most important way, is to make sure that the systemic control over the condition is maximized. And that includes making sure that the patient's blood sugar is controlled, that their blood cholesterol is controlled, and their hypertension is controlled. And that's really where we work closely with the primary care team. In terms of more direct treatment to the eye itself, we have several tools up our sleeve to help control the actual diabetic retinopathy. One way, which has been around now since the 1970s, is with laser treatment. And so laser treatment we use to treat areas of swelling or to treat areas of damaged retina to get the retinopathy under control. Over the last 20 years, treatments, though, have evolved where we now have pharmacotherapy, where we can now deliver medicines directly into the eye to reverse diabetic retinopathy and improve diabetic swelling. Now, when I say deliver medications directly to the eye, what I'm referring to is an injection into the eye. Now, this sounds extremely scary to a lot of people, but over the years, we've gotten much better at giving these injections relatively painlessly. And these medications fall into two categories. Right now, we have medicines which are called anti-VEGF medications, which stands for anti-vascular endothelial growth factor. And we also still use intravitreal steroids. And steroids, as many people know, are a larger class of anti-inflammatories. So both of these classes can be administered directly to the eye and have resulted in significant improvements to patients. And so we're now able to not only improve patients' vision, but also reverse the levels of retinopathy, which we've seen over the years. So it's really been a big change and a big shift in how we now approach the eye disease.
And finally, doctor, as far as diabetes and eye conditions, it's not inevitable that a diabetic will have one of these issues.
That is correct. There are many patients who have diabetes, and if the diabetes is controlled well, they may never have diabetic retinopathy or diabetic eye problems, or may have a very mild severity of diabetic eye disease and never go on to require laser treatments or injections to the eye. So that's a very good point to make. We know that diabetic eye disease is directly correlated with the control over the systemic condition. So that really highlights the importance of the systemic management. And our role as the eye doctors is really to work with the primary care team to make sure that that's being maximized and that we can help really encourage the more aggressive control or encourage patients who are doing well to continue to do well. Because as you point out, not everybody needs to go on to require those treatments which we just spoke about.
But everyone with diabetes should absolutely be screened.
That's exactly right as well. And again, what we've learned over the years is that patients can still have diabetic eye disease and still need treatment and have no visual symptoms. And so everyone is unique, and so patients may often speak to their friends or family, and people that they know may be receiving treatments and have symptoms, and others may not have symptoms. So it is very important for that eye exam to take place. And with the current imaging which we have in the office, we can now easily show our patients what's exactly going on in their eyes. And that's a good thing to do, and it's a good thing for patients to ask when they see their eye doctor is, what do you see, and can I see it with you? And also to know what level of retinopathy they might have. And also it's important for patients to know what their own systemic control is. One of the most common measurements of how well a patient is doing is the hemoglobin A1C test, which is an average of their blood sugars. And so we will often, as the eye doctors, ask them if they know that number, and will often keep track of that in their charting as well.
What about the virus and having your eyes screened? What do you recommend?
Sure. So the virus has created some increased barriers for patients to come in and be screened. But I do want to emphasize it's still very important to continue with your annual screenings. Eye providers have adjusted the office setting to provide the most safe environment. So I do want to encourage patients to continue with those screenings. If you are unable to see your eye care provider, speak to your primary care doctor, as they may be able to offer remote screenings with photography at that location. But I do want to emphasize that patients should continue with their screenings during this time.
That's Dr. Michael Cusick, an ophthalmologist and retina specialist at UVA Health. For more information on diabetes and eye issues, visit uvahealth.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast from the UVA Health System. I'm Aileen Ellis. Stay well.